Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast. Today I'm here with Jeff Lewis. Jeff, tell us where you're located.
In Tennessee. I'm originally from Florida. I was born and raised there. Believe it or not, I got into the motorcycle business so I could have more time off. Growing up, I was in the furniture business, and the furniture business, you're open always, every holiday, you got some kind of sale going on. So the furniture store I was running was right next to a motorcycle store, and I got to be friends with the motorcycle dealership owner, a guy named Gary Purcell, and he hired me to be his general manager so I could get 2 days a week off. So that was how I got in the business, but 42 years now. And I've been about 50-50, about half of the time in the Harley world and about half the time in the metric world. So I've seen the benefits and the challenges with both. I think today I'd rather be in the metric world than the Harley world, because the Harley world is seeming like it's getting a lot of challenges. I've got to know just about every brand, also ventured into the boat business. So, you know, power sports, boats, all that kind of stuff. Back in the 80s, I decided I wanted to be a student of the business and learn as much as I could. So I started this journey of trying to learn as much as I could about every department in the dealership. Originally, you know, I focused on sales, but I learned that sales is really what drives everything. But to be really successful, you have to be knowledgeable of every department and how it works and how it interacts with the sales department. And I learned that if you wanted the dealership to be really profitable, then you had to be profitable in parts and service. Because if you didn't focus on that and have those departments running well, then sales could not make enough money to make you really successful. You needed all of those departments working together, pulling together, and learned that a lot of dealers didn't like messing with service departments. They found them to be a necessary evil, but through 20 group involvement, I learned that really the most profitable thing we sell is a hour of scheduled maintenance, and just started focusing on trying to be as good as we could in service to complement the sales department. And that's when, you know, you really get into the profitability if you can get both of those departments working together.
So you started down in Florida. What brought you up to Tennessee about 5 years ago?
29. I'd been a partner in a dealership in Ocala, Florida, and I was a minority partner, and so it was a very challenging environment for me. So I sold out to partners, and I basically went on the road doing contract work. I started finding dealers that needed either a department fixed or the whole dealership fixed, and started traveling around the country doing contract work. I came up to Knoxville, Tennessee, to try to do a turnaround on a couple of Harley dealerships there. Right after that, COVID hit. And when COVID hit, they determined that they didn't need me. So we liked Tennessee. We wanted to stay here. So I went and found the owner of Tommy's and met with him and started working actually as a salesperson just to have something to do. And over the course of the next year or so, moved up into the management of this location. So from 99 to 2020, I went from, I was in Atlanta twice, Asheville, North Carolina, Las Vegas for 7 years, Hickory, North Carolina. I mean, the list goes on and on. Fort Myers, Florida, and then ended up here in Tennessee. And we love it here. I'm at that retirement age. We're going to stay here in Tennessee because we just like it. It's a real affordable place to live, and they've got great motorcycle riding. They got great boating and side-by-side riding. We like all those things, so this is where we're going to stay.
When it comes to power sports, do you have like a favorite brand to ride?
I still own a Harley, so I still ride my Harley. When I ride, I usually ride the Harley on the road. We've had several Polaris Razors. We can actually ride the side-by-sides right out of our house and go into some different riding areas, so that's pretty nice. But I would still probably choose the Harley over any of the others, even though the Harley's slower and heavier. I still enjoy the Harley on the motorcycle side more than any of the others. But on the off-road side, I would probably choose a Can-Am. Their Mavericks are, you know, pretty much bulletproof, and I enjoy riding them. Then, of course, you know, we go boating as much as we can. We sell sea doos and wave runners. So we do as much boating as we can in the summertime.
How do you balance your home and work life? What is that like?
My kids and my wife, they all enjoy the products that we sell. 15 years, I guess, we spent just about all of our time at a motocross track somewhere with our son. I raced a lot when I was younger. So the way I've been fortunate that my family enjoys these products just like I do. So our family has been a off-road family. My wife, her license plate used to be a motocross mom, MX mom, and she can clean the air filter better than most men that I know. So we all enjoyed the outdoors, and we still do. My wife, in fact, just a day or two ago was asking me, when are we going to go side-by-side riding again? Because it's been a couple of months since we went riding. But it's just a blessing to have your family that enjoys the same thing that you do. I'd had motorcycles since I was about 12 years old. I'd always been into motorcycles, and it was just one of those things. The furniture business is, you know, 70, 80 hours a week. Of course, when I was in the Harley business can be 70 or 80 hours a week because you're open every day and have the events and stuff. So at this time in my life, I'm very happy to be at a dealership in Tennessee that's only open 40 hours a week. We're closed on Sunday and Monday. I get to have a lot more leisure time.
I was looking at some of like the Google reviews, and it seems like you guys have been very well known for your customer service, which I feel like makes the culture of your business a lot better too.
And the owner, that's his claim to fame, if you will, is he would, you know, take care of people when other people wouldn't. And he insists on that. And I'm glad of that because I feel that's an important part of the business, taking care of people, treating people like you would want to be treated. And that's kind of been the foundation for me for many years.
How do you feel like you guys have kind of instilled that culture of customer service and taking care of the people that come in?
There's dealers 50 miles to the west of us, 70 miles to the east of us. They can go get these, but I learned long ago that people like doing business with people that they like. And so we just try to be as likable as we can. We try to treat everybody like family from the top down. We all believe that a large part of our success is from those referrals, those people that were happy with us, made purchases with us, and that's just something that is a commitment as part of our culture. And the culture of the dealership, if it is set right, then the dealership can be successful without spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars in advertising money. We are a successful, profitable dealer, I think largely because we take care of our customers. And yes, I do respond to those because my daughter, younger generation, you know, she won't go to a restaurant that doesn't have good reviews. If we're talking about going, let me check them out here, you know, and that's just the culture of the people, you know, younger than us that are actually buying today, is they're going to look and see, you know, how you score. And based on how your Google score is, that's going to determine if they're going to come and give you a shot or not. So we just work real hard to make everybody happy, and that's the culture we have in the dealership.
We obviously live and learn as we are moving forward, whether it's in personal life or work or whatever. So if you could go back and talk to your younger self at any different age, what's a piece of advice that you would give yourself?
I would tell myself to be more patient with people. When I was younger, I was sometimes too quick to react and discharge people that I should have spent more time trying to train them and convert them. I've learned later in life that people don't get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to go to work today and do a real crappy job. Nobody intends to do a bad job, but they do a bad job because they're not properly trained or they're not properly motivated. So my younger self, I would say, be more patient and spend more time developing people rather than discharging them and hiring new people. My dad would always say the biggest room in the house is the room for improvement. And it doesn't matter how good you're doing, there's some area that you can improve in. And as I'm a part of the Hero Hub groups, I hear things that, you know, apply to other dealers and apply to us. There's always opportunity for improvement. And that's no matter how good you're doing, there's always, you know, you could work a little bit on your parts margin, or you could work a little bit on your productivity and service. There's always some area, and that applies to all the other dealers in the group as we listen to them you know, a lot of those dealers, there's areas that they can improve just like we could improve.
Will electric bikes ever win the soul of the rider?
You know, I have introductions of them, and, you know, Can-Am, they've got electric bikes now. But there's something about, you know, one of the reasons that I still ride a Harley is there's just nothing that replaces that. You know, you crack that throttle, and that noise and that feel of the engine, you know, under your butt, you just, nothing can replace that. And yet, maybe electric bikes in urban settings where people are, you know, riding them in Atlanta or New York City or something like that. But I don't think, you know, like for us as an example, an electric bike, I couldn't get to Knoxville. I can't get to Nashville, you know, and I wouldn't want one just, you know, riding back and forth to home because it doesn't inspire you. It doesn't, it doesn't generate that feeling that when you crack that throttle, you know, and feel that response. So no, I don't think electric bikes are ever going to have the following that the internal combustion engine is. We have had some electric bikes, and we've had one electric motorcycle, and they just haven't gone well in this area. Like I said, we're 70 miles from Knoxville, about 90 miles from Nashville. We're in a area that's very rural, a lot of agriculture, and I just can't see the electric bikes becoming popular here.
So what do you feel like has become or currently is the most popular thing people are coming in for?
More side-by-sides, which shocks me. I would have never believed 20 years ago that side-by-sides would outsell ATVs. You know, people that told me that, I told them they were crazy, but they were correct. The side-by-side is just where the market in our area is right now. We sell probably, I don't know, 10 to 1 side-by-sides to ATVs.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today, and a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.